Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's program, lesson number 6 of week number 50, studying Luke's Gospel. As we get started in today's study, these reminders. Our free materials are always available by clicking the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. You can access all of these IGH 260 programs by going to internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. A program update. In 2020, we will restart this series, rename it the 260 Project, and air these programs in an online-only format. To keep up with this restarted study of all 260 chapters of the New Testament, go to the260project.org to find links for our Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest pages, and, most importantly, a link to sign up for our weekly newsletter. It's the most effective way to keep up with our ongoing studies. Before we get back into our study of Luke's Gospel, remember this. God says, here's where you are, here's where you need to be, move. That means move away from whatever you are doing that does not glorify God, and move closer to everything that does glorify God. To make both of those moves, we must believe. We must trust that God exists, that God keeps His word, His promises. We must believe and trust enough to act in harmony with God's will and God's word, which leads us to change the way we think, and as part of that change in thinking, to change the way that we live, which means that we will learn to, and that we will want to, surrender to God in all things. What did we just say? We said what we have repeatedly noted as we start our studies. God's divine directive, His desires, and His expectations are found throughout the New Testament. They are summed up in the words faith, repentance, baptism. That's belief and trust in God and in God's word and in God's promises. That's the faith part. Belief and trust that moves us to act by changing our thinking and by changing the way we live, that's the repentance part. And to act in a way that we surrender to God in all things, that's what we start to do, and that's what we commit to do continually when we are baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. We cannot be what God desires us to be, to honor and to glorify God, without these modeling Jesus elements. Are we modeling Jesus today? We take up where we were at the end of our last broadcast, a continuation of our study of the delivered principle that we first see introduced in Luke chapter 1. We continue to work our way through the third generational transfer of God's message, from the apostles to the next generation of believers, including men like Luke and Timothy, and all of those who heard and who responded to the apostles' teaching. As part of that study, we already surveyed one example of the third generational transfer of God's redemptive message. It was Peter's Pentecost sermon that we find recorded in Acts chapter 2. In our most recent studies, we began to look at the next example, Peter's message again, this time in Acts 3. As we thought our way through that text, we asked these questions. Does the content of Peter's preaching in Acts chapter 3, does it reveal that his message was consistent with what the Christ had commissioned the apostles to preach? In other words, did Peter deliver a message to his audience on that occasion that was consistent with the message that Christ taught and that Christ commissioned Peter and others to proclaim? Next, was the message that Peter delivered also consistent with the redemptive message that God the Father delivered to Jesus the Son. Do we see consistency here that reflects both of the delivered principles that we have noted up to this point? To determine if that was the case, we introduced and then we overviewed the text. After we completed that overview, we got into the details of the message that Peter presented to his audience in the temple on that day. Peter asked two questions: Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? And, or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? Peter's point: the miracle that they just witnessed originated not with Peter, not with John, but with Jesus. Everything in this context centered on God's servant Jesus. Peter introduced Jesus in just that way in Acts chapter 3, verse 13. But Peter did much more than just introduce Jesus. Peter presented Jesus as the fulfillment of God's promises, of God's redemptive plan, of Jesus' rejection, burial, death, and resurrection. Peter ended that train of thought with this point: God not only raised Jesus from the dead, we are witnesses of that resurrection. It was a known and an accepted fact. But Peter also presented Jesus as the one through whom the lame man was healed. It was through faith in his, that is Jesus' name, that this lame man was made strong. Peter's finishing point here, similar to the one that he just made about the resurrection: it was through Jesus that this man was made strong, whom you see and know. Just as the resurrection was physically, visibly witnessed, the healing of this man was also visibly witnessed. All of this was consistent with what Peter wrote to the Christians of the dispersion in 2 Peter 1:16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. In this section of his message, Peter established the basis for that message. It was not Peter's resurrection that empowered the preaching of the gospel. It was Jesus' resurrection. It was not Peter's message. It was the message of Jesus. It was not Peter's power that healed the lame man. The man was healed by Jesus. That brings us to another delivered principle. There's another pattern of transfer that Peter accentuates in Acts chapter 3. We saw it earlier in Acts chapter 2, but we did not emphasize it at that time like we will here. We are very familiar with the delivered principle as it relates to the oral transmission of God's saving truth from God the Father through the chain of transfers ending with others also. And, though we have not mentioned it as much, we are also familiar with the delivered principle as it relates to the written transmission of God's saving truth from God the Father to those who heard, or to those who read, his message presented by inspired writers and inspired speakers. In this context, Peter, as he did in Acts chapter 2, also notes the delivered principle as it relates to miraculous ability. God the Father, through the Spirit, empowered Jesus to do miracles, and Jesus granted the power to perform miracles to his apostles. We see that first in the limited commission, see Matthew 10 and Mark 10, but we also see it from Pentecost forward. Thus, as we read through Acts chapter 3, we will see that Peter not only ties his message to the delivered principle, all starting with God, of course, Peter also ties the healing of this lame man to that same delivered principle. It was not strictly Peter's ability that made this miracle occur. It was because of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that the lame man was healed. The point: the delivered principle applies in at least the following three ways: the delivery of God's message orally, the delivery of God's message in writing, that is, via Scripture, the delivery of God's power through miracles. All of this points to a broader principle: the delivery of God's will, not just haphazardly or willy-nilly, but according to a set of principles, a set of patterns, paradigms that reflect God's sovereignty. God, as the creator and sustainer of all that exists physically, and God as the creator and sustainer of all that exists outside of himself spiritually, God has the right and the power to run his creation as he sees fit. And because God's nature appears not only through His power, but also through His love, His grace, His mercy, His justice, and His wisdom, and so forth. God's jurisdiction over all things consistently in all things will be displayed consistent with His divine design. All of the means by which God's will and God's word and God's work are made known to us are based upon God's delivered principle. It's God's way of consistently relating His will to souls created in His image. That's me, that's you, that's all of us. Let's continue to study Acts chapter 3. We are working our way through this text to see whether or not what Peter preached to the temple audience after the lame man was healed synced with what Messiah Jesus revealed to the apostles. And we are doing so to see whether or not it was the same message that Jesus, the Messiah, received from His Heavenly Father. Already, we have noted this. The delivered principle applied to one more area of God's sovereignty, to God's transfer of miraculous power from Himself to His Son, and then from the Son to the apostles. As we continue to examine the chapter, we will see that there are more delivered principle connections. Here's a quick recap before moving forward. Peter and John went to the temple to pray. They met and then they healed a lame man at the gate. The man, now healed, stood, walked, leaped, and praised God. That drew a crowd who not only witnessed the man's actions, but who wondered what had happened to him. Peter, when the crowd gathered, began to speak. The first order of business gave credit for this man's healing to Jesus, but that was only the start of Peter's message. As Peter continued, we learn that this was done in concert with God's redemptive plan made known through the patriarchs, that God's plan through those men culminated in His servant Jesus, the same Jesus that some present on that day delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, the same Jesus that they ordered kept by Pilate so that Barabbas would be released. That Jesus was the Prince of Life. God raised Him from the dead, and through faith and power, in the name of Jesus, the lame man was healed. That's the second part of Peter's message. As Peter continued, he established a connection between what his immediate audience did and what the Jewish rulers did. Both groups rejected Jesus. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Luke's Gospel. These reminders as we close, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com.